Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean. Today, we're going to be talking about how Hollywood seems to be marketing explicit content to teenagers.
Yeah, Christy, that's not surprising in a sense, because we know that Hollywood wants to make money. It doesn't have to be Hollywood. It could be anyone. Teenagers are easy targets. They're one of the largest target markets. So, you know, the largest consumer group, one of the largest consumer groups in our country. And it's interesting that a number of advocacy groups have been warning about the explicit content that teens are, seeing, watching, devouring, as it were. And the FCC has come out recently and said, you know what, a lot of what these advocacy groups have been saying is actually true. Our rating system is outdated. We don't warn enough. And, you know, the focus ultimately is on the bottom line. We're not necessarily worried about this, that, or the other. You know, I don't know if you could find a direct quote, but essentially what they're saying is that there is some truth to what's being said. So we just want to talk a little bit about that, some of the implications, maybe some of the rationale behind it, and what we should be doing as parents, for example, about these things that are out there in our culture.
Mm-hmm. We live in a world where media is changing, technology is changing. Most people get their media consumption on the internet, most teens at least. So they're not watching, network television anymore. So they're getting their content from places like Netflix or Hulu or YouTube. And a lot of these streaming services are known for having more adult content than network TV because, I guess because they can get away with it.
Yeah, that's right. And it is interesting. One of those trends, I was actually talking with someone this week about watching television, and they were talking to some teenagers, and the teenagers are like, well, we don't watch television. And he was like, Oh, really? Well, what do you do? You read books? I mean, that can't be it. Or just video games that play outside. But it's an older individual, and they're like, no, but they're into what you just said. I mean, YouTube is what the teens are watching. And wow, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that I wouldn't want my kids watching. And by the way, I need to check up on your viewing habits. I'm joking. Well, at 27 years old, you better be solid on your
own.
I'm
only 26.
What?
Come on now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were 27.
I turned 27 this year. I still have four more months.
Okay, you're on the other side of that, wondering you're not worried you're too young. You're worried you're too old.
Yeah. I'm getting close to 30, but which is old.
Yeah, apparently so.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But no, this is so true. I mean, I think about shows that are wildly popular with teenagers. Like, these are shows I've never seen, but I know about them. But like Game of Thrones, I mean, that's just crazy popular. Or even Black Mirror, which was I don't know if it's still popular, but it was really, really popular. And I know that Black Mirror in particular, not just like showed or had sexually explicit stuff, but they even had like gross stuff that I don't even want to mention.
Sure.
So we see, I don't know if they were like intentionally marketing to teenagers, but teens, I think, are maybe less discerning. And so, but also not only that, they have like hormones raging. And so they want to watch these things and then they go crazy over it. And it becomes, a sensation, an internet sensation, or just it goes viral, or everybody's watching it and they're telling their kids to watch it. I mean, their friends to watch it. And I think also it leads to them being more, being less discerning in their adult life as well, because they've been exposed to all these things at such a young age. I mean, I even think of the show Stranger Things, which is like one of the top TV shows. And you have, it's got, you know, 11-year-olds are the stars of the show, and they're swearing all up and down. And I don't think we used to see this kind of thing until recent years.
No, that's right. That's right. I think I shared with you, Designated Survivor was just one of those shows I kind of watched. And in the second season, Netflix took it over, and now the little girl's swearing. But I haven't seen the second season. I turned it off in the middle of it. It's not that I'm too pure for this or that. You know, I'm not trying to be holier than thou, but I've just refused to watch certain things. And but it's not just Hollywood, Christy. You know, it's clothing, it's music, it's the lifestyle that's marketed to teens. I mean, it's the superstars, you know, J-Lo and Beyonce and all the rest. And Hollywood doesn't really care, in a sense, if you think about it, about the potential destruction that ensues when they reel these teenagers in. You know, the bad decisions that are being made at these, the crossroads that teenagers face at a particular point in their lives, the broken relationships in the future. I mean, there are all kinds of, what's the word I'm looking for? There are all kinds of dangers out there that no one is really concerned about, who's just trying to make
consequences.
Yeah, exactly. The STD. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, definitely, I'm sure, I don't know the stats, but I'm sure there's a rise in STDs. And actually, I think they like don't even call them STDs anymore, because that's like too much. They call them STIs, I think. Mm. And I don't know. It's almost like they're trying to make it sound not as scary or something, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, we see a rise with social media, especially a rise in comparing yourself to other people and comparing your lives to, you know, celebrities' lives or people who have more money, or now it's leading people to buy things just to put it on social media. And we've definitely seen teen depression go just skyrocket and teen suicide rates go up. And I don't, I'm not able to pinpoint a root cause, but I definitely know that one of the causes is the agenda that we see coming from Hollywood and from the media that's coming out.
Yeah, if your life can't be what you want it to be, what you imagine it to be on some of the things that you see, what you imagine your friend's life is, the whole comparison culture on social media,
Bullying. If you don't, like the shows that they like or the music that they like, you'll get made fun of.
That's it. And then, the depression resulting from these bad life choices, on and on we could go. But I think, Christy, I think money talks, that's the issue.
Yeah. Kids are probably a big business, because a lot of them have jobs but no responsibilities. I mean, I know when I was a teenager, when I had a job, I got a job at 15, and I'm really glad that I did, because it taught me, lots of work ethic, and it taught me a whole lot of things. But when I had money in my bank account, I could just spend it on whatever I wanted. I didn't have to think about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And very dangerous thing, but that's the world we live in. But, we as parents, we have to take responsibility, right? We have to be hands-on in the lives of our kids, which is not always easy. I want to respect their freedom, and I want to give, life lessons and give more and more responsibility. There are consequences for, messing up. But at the same time, I really want to produce independent adults, as it were, dependent on God, of course. But I don't want to lock my kids away. Of course, my kids are grown. I've got you and your brother. You're grown, and your youngest sister is 17, so she's technically grown in a sense. But if we're not involved in their lives, then it's hard to complain about how they turn out based on the influences if we don't know what those influences are. And so I think that's huge. We just have to be involved.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, someone's going to train your kids, and it's either going to be you, or it's going to be Hollywood or their friends or their culture. And I'm not a parent, but I like to tread lightly when I talk about what parents should do. But parents do need to be training their kids and spending time with them and getting involved.
Yeah, and I'm not really, I didn't intend, it's just popped in my head, I didn't intend to make a shameless plug here, but Alan Melton and I wrote a book a number of years ago. It was for parents, and it was called Disciple Like Jesus. And the whole book is about how we need to, you know, train up our kids, raise up our kids, and it's about being involved in their lives and spending time with them and some of the dangers and the pitfalls out there and how to overcome them. And, you know, you can get a copy of that on our website, trueworldview.net, but it's based on the whole Deuteronomy 6 that we're to train our kids in the morning when we walk in the way, you know, when we get up, when we sit down to eat. It's not that we can't ever just talk about, you know, soccer or football or swimming or, you know, gymnastics or ballet or piano or whatever they're involved in. I mean, all of you guys were involved in a lot of things, but you tell me if I'm wrong. I think we had a lot of fun, but it's because we connected all of our life to the reality of God. So we were constantly talking about the things of God. We weren't perfect parents by any means, but we were constantly talking about the things of God. And that's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, like you said, we talked about it all the time. We would regularly talk at dinner, you know, about different questions that we had, and not just dinner. It would be anytime, because you guys really were involved in our lives. And I do think a big part or a big reason that you were able to do that was because we were homeschooled. I was talking recently to a friend who's in a Bible study group that I'm in, and she has three kids, I think, and she homeschools two of them, and one of them, her older son, she got accepted into a really good school, and so they sent him to this school. And she was just talking about how it's been so difficult to combat basically all of the bad messages that he's getting in school. And I don't bring this up to make parents feel bad about the choices that they've made for their kids, but I bring this up to think about it. And I think that what is good with this friend that I have, she's thinking about the effects that this is having on her son, and how she was talking about how their lives are so busy, and you wake up and you just have to fly him out the door to school, and then he's at school all day long. And then schools, especially in this area, I don't know about in South Carolina, but especially here in the Bay Area, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many kids are doing drugs like all the time, or vaping in the bathrooms, or just all this stuff that goes on in schools that is just like mind-boggling. And then, you know, when they get home from school at 4 o'clock, you know, you have to do your homework, and then it's dinner time, and then there's no time to be, like you were saying, to be telling your kids, writing it on the doorpost, you know, telling them all day, all night, all day long, teaching them about God. So it's something that we need to think about and that we need to take seriously, because our children's souls are at stake.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just about giving them a moral code, you know, drugs are bad, so stay away from those. And, you know, sex is bad, stay away from that. You know, we're not legalists, but these are things that are destructive at the wrong time. Drugs destructive, certainly. Sex outside of marriage is destructive in many, many ways, but it's not even just about keeping our kids from those devastating life choices, but ultimately it's about pointing them to Christ and the life that we have in Him and the forgiveness that we have in Him and the fulfillment that we have in Him, the purpose, the whole bit. So, but these are things that you do have to warn teenagers about, because they can get off track really, really quick. I've counseled folk who have been on drugs for years, and it is not a pretty picture in terms of where they are financially and mentally and spiritually and all the rest. And it takes its toll physically, you know, health-wise. So anyway, didn't want to get bogged down in that. I just want to say, we're not just sort of saying, hey, don't drink, don't smoke, don't, you know, those kinds of things. We recognize that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. It's not just about making our kids moral. It's about a total heart transformation. They need the new birth. But I think too, Christy, we need to deal with our own kids, but let's say our kids are grown or we don't have kids or whatever the case may be. We need to be talking to the next generation. And, you know, on the one hand, and the next generation of Christians, and what I'm getting at here, and I want to just get your thoughts, you know, it's not just about us, you know, being separate from the world, or, you know, we're supposed to be separate in the sense that we don't, you know, fall into the world's values and fall into the world's traps, and you know, there is sin, and we're supposed to honor and glorify God. And so we want to be separate in that regard, but we don't want to have this fortress mentality, this castle mentality. Mm-hmm. We just go in and lock the door and world stay away from me because me and mine are saved, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. I'm talking about we need to train the next generation to engage the world, to influence the world. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Think about it. If you are constantly just telling your kids, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, I think that the natural response is to immediately rebel when they yeah. get out from under their parents' roof and then finally have the freedom to do whatever they want. I think the issue is we need to be able to talk about these things. And I think a lot of times, it's uncomfortable and awkward to talk about sex or drugs or these hard things with your kids. I think, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but maybe you think that you don't want to think about them growing up and thinking about those things. But we need to be talking about them in order so that they will be able to face it and make the right decision because of how their hearts have been discipled and how they have seen your love for Jesus and how you're not afraid to tackle hard subjects or hard questions, but how your love for Jesus and your joy in him and your desire to love and honor him because of his love for you far surpasses all that the world has to offer. So we need to not be training our kids to just stay away. We need to be training our kids to engage and to talk to their friends and say, hey, you know, why are you doing this? What do you think this is going to mean for your future? Why do you like this? And get to those deeper questions and be able to show them the gospel.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It's interesting. I was actually talking with a couple of men this morning, and, you know, one of them was talking about his kids and, you know, there's a situation where they happen to know someone who's homosexual, et cetera, and they want to love them, but the kids don't really know this about this person, you know. And he was saying, you know, I think I need to have a talk with them at some point, but it might be too early. And we got into that whole discussion, Christy. It is the discussion that you just laid out that, you know, I think mm-hmm. you need to be too, you know, it's kind of hush-hush when I was growing up, at least to a certain mm-hmm. point. And we need to be talking to our kids, and I think we need to be talking to them a lot earlier now. You know, when you see 12, 13-year-old girls getting pregnant, you know, when those kids are 10 years old, I think, you know, you need to be talking to them, and you need to say things like, you know, God is the one who made the world, and God has designed certain things for his glory and our good and our pleasure, and marriage is one of those. And then you approach it from that angle. You talk about the goodness of God and the goodness of these things in their proper context, and then you talk about how, but there's some people who, and all of us, we're sinners, we need grace, but they're, like if you're talking about a particular lifestyle issue, there's some people who engage in this, and we love them, but that's not right, and we want to help them, through the gospel. I don't want to get bogged down on that, but that's kind of the conversation that we were having. But I think all...
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
Just to interject, I think you should be starting these conversations even earlier than 10.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't believe what 10-year-old kids are into these days. Mm. I mean, I've seen it from lifeguarding. I had lots of 10-year-old kids who would come to my pool, and they're into some dark stuff. Wow. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe they're friends. Maybe YouTube. Maybe it is Netflix and Hollywood. But I think that these days, even earlier than 10, kids are thinking about sex and they're thinking about, you know, being cool and drugs. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tragic thing to think about. Well, yeah, I mean, we just need to get into it. And, you know, one other thing.
Anyways, I interrupted. You were talking about someone that you were talking
about. Well, no, that's okay. I'm going to have to go back and revise because, yeah, I'm not sure what age, you know, we're talking about here. So we'll get into that. But one other thing I wanted to put on the table before we, you know, close out the broadcast. I think that, and we've mentioned this before in different contexts, but I think Christians, you know, we have a golden opportunity. You know, we've made a false distinction between the secular and the sacred in the church. And, you know, there's sin and there's righteousness. But what I mean is that, you know, we think, well, Christians just, you know, they don't need to worry about Hollywood movies and entertainment and art. I'm not saying all Christians are like that, but I might be caricaturing a little bit with reference to some even. But I think Christians need to be making movies. I think Christians need to be making music. I think Christians need to be, you know, doing art. But the thing is, Christy, we need to have better messages and we need to be doing it better than the world, better than what we've been doing. What do you think?
Yeah, and we need movies that are Hollywood quality, I think, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I think about Christian movies, I think about them being second rate, right, or cheesy or just like not a good script and like not entertaining. And that's sad. And I know why it is, because it takes a lot of money to produce a good quality film. But we do, like you mentioned, not need to be taking that fortress mentality of let's just all hunker down and do our own thing. We need to be making good films, good art, good music, and we need to be doing it to the best of our ability.
That is exactly right. The Christian worldview encompasses everything. It's a full orb dynamic, and we need to have a Christian worldview when it comes to the gospel, salvation, sin, and forgiveness, and life, and eternity, and all that. But we also need to have a Christian worldview when it comes to politics and economics and entertainment and art and fashion, and on we could go. So that's our admonition. Let's engage. Let's not withdraw. And let's not be ignorant. Let's engage, and let's train those who come behind us. What do you think?
Absolutely. Let's go and do that, and we'll talk about something else next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.